The Giants are in an absolute tailspin as the trade deadline approaches. We're going to do some mailbag questions today, talk about what could the Giants get if they sell a Carlos Rodon or a Joc Pederson? What should we expect if the team decides to buy, and what direction should we expect them to go? So it's mostly a trade deadline themed edition of the show next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on the show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, we're going to do some mailbag questions. We got a lot of questions. The Giants are playing so poorly, and the fans have questions, and rightfully so. If you're looking for, like, reaction to how poorly the team is playing, I did an episode yesterday handing out blame and talking about who deserves the blame and who is responsible ultimately for the way the Giants have been playing recently and in the year at large. So check out that episode if you want more of my take on that. But let's just jump into some mailbag questions, some of which are related to that, but also the trade deadline. First batch of questions is about selling and the Giants selling. And Breezy says, if they trade Carlos Rodon, do you think they could get someone who would be in the Giants' top 10 prospects right away? Rodney Redburn says, do they move Rodon and Joc? And there were many questions asking essentially the same thing about, do they trade Rodon? What could they get? Do they trade Joc? What could they get? Yeah, anime consumerism. Is it time for the Giants to trade Rodon and Pederson? So Breezy's question first, absolutely 100%, they would get somebody at least who would go into their top 10 prospects right away, assuming it would be a prospect that they would target, which is not necessarily a safe assumption. They might target a guy who's got like a year of service in the major leagues, obviously not a star, because you're not going to get 6 years of a star talent for 2 months of Carlos Rodon, but a quality major league player is a possibility. So do they move him? I think that they seriously consider it because of their position. Right now, they're 2 games under 500, and their playoff odds, according to FanGraphs, are close to 20%. When the All-Star break took place, it was over 50%. So this week has been disastrous and has been cut in more than half their playoff odds. So I think they consider it, and it does, to me, depend on how this series against the Cubs go and then the one game against the Dodgers. So if they just continue to play poorly, if they lose 3 out of 4, get swept even to the Chicago Cubs, and they're looking at, you know, if they get swept, they're looking at an 11-game losing streak, and they'd be probably closer to 0% playoff odds or 10% at best. So it depends. Like if they sweep the Cubs and they gain a few games in the standings, I don't think they do sell. So it really does depend, in my opinion. And the reason for that, and there's a question about this from somebody else somewhere, it's Ryan who says, do you believe there is more benefit to selling guys like Joc, Rodon, and Flores at the deadline than committing to a playoff run and adding pieces? And to me, there has to be. Otherwise, you shouldn't do it. If you're just getting guys who could be, that's the thing. I think prospects are so overrated in the game. You need, obviously, an influx of young talent, but also when I see, okay, you traded this good player and the return, you know, the prospect analysts are saying he has a chance to be a major leaguer. Great. You're giving me a guy who has a chance to be a major leaguer and a chance that he's not even a major league player for, I'm sacrificing my season. I don't want to do that. I don't think it's worth it. And that's why the Giants, I think, have some leverage when it comes to a Carlos Rodon, because they have shown before in 2019 with Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith, they didn't sell, even though they were in a similar kind of position to where they are now. They were close to 500. They were on the cusp of the race, and they didn't do it. So it has to be worth their while. And Rodon is better than either of those players were at the time. And it is, you know, mostly a pure rental, even though he has the opt out. So it's actually a little more risky because if he gets hurt, he can opt in, and that is not necessarily something a team would want. But anyway, Rodon would bring back a pretty solid return, but it's going to be limited because it's only a 2-month rental. When you're talking about a guy with multiple years of club control, it's not just about the talent itself. It's about the player and the contract. And for Rodon, the contract is up at the end of the year if he opts out. And so that's going to limit the return, but the Giants have leverage, and I think they could get, whether it's a really good prospect, not like a top 10 prospect in the game, but a top 25, maybe a top 50 probably, or someone, like I said, more established, but good, but not a star. For Peterson, you're going to get almost nothing. That's just the reality of the situation. I think that Giants fans have overrated Joc Pederson quite a bit this season. He's not even been particularly close to being their best position player on a team that doesn't have that many good position players. He is what his contract kind of reflects, which is a one-year, $6 million deal. He's a part-time player, can't hit left-handed pitching, has a track record of not hitting left-handed pitching, doesn't play the field well, doesn't run well, hits righties pretty well, but he's in a deep slump right now. On the whole, in any particular at-bat where he's facing a righty, I feel pretty good about it. But for just 2 months of that kind of limited profile of a player, you're not going to get a major haul at all. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's worth whatever they would get for Joc Pederson to trade him. I just don't think so. But for Rodon, the other thing is the Giants can give Rodon the qualifying offer, which is, there was a question about whether it would stay, and it is staying. So once he opts out, they can give him the qualifying offer. And then if he rejects that, which he would, because it's like the same as the opt out, the player option, 1 year, about $20 million, he would just reject and then reject again. And then if he ended up signing with another team, the Giants would get draft pick compensation. So that's an added kind of tool of leverage the Giants have here with other teams who are calling about Carlos Rodon. They really need to be like blown away in order to move him, in my opinion, given where they are in the standings and that they still have a chance this season. So the next round of questions is going to be about spending, and that is a major topic. And the question is, to comment on these comments that control person Greg Johnson, the son of Charles Johnson, who is the majority owner of the Giants, that he made to Andy Baggerly in 2021, kind of talking about how they were possibly wanting to avoid large contracts. So we'll get to that question momentarily. But first, whether you're a casual card collector or looking for exciting alternative investment opportunities, the free Sports Card Investor app has something for you. As players like Adley Rutschman, Jeremy Pena, unfortunately no exciting Giants rookies to talk about. I don't know, maybe you want to check out Luis Gonzalez's rookie card. As these players make the jump to the big leagues, you can use the free Sports Card Investor app to check the prices of and buy their first baseball cards. There's never been a better time to start collecting cards of your favorite players like Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of star talent on the Giants, so these are all players on other teams, but maybe they're your favorites anyway, and maybe just maybe one or two of those guys possibly ends up on the Giants one day, Juan Soto among them. So with the free Sports Card Investor app, you can see the latest values for these players' cards and find great deals to build a one-of-a-kind collection. Download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about the Giants' spending, which we did get into yesterday when we were handing out blame. Yes, I looked at ownership and the possibility that ownership has kind of capped spending under Farhan Zaidi, because the payroll has come down to about $160 million and it's kind of stayed there. So we're going to talk about these specific quotes by Greg Johnson that are provided here. So thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. The MLB trade deadline is August 2nd and Locked On MLB has all the breakdowns. Locked On Giants will have rapid reactions to any move made. Subscribe now to Locked On Giants on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you get notified when each episode premieres. So yeah, the next question from Gobert, who says, what are your thoughts on these quotes from Giants control person Greg Johnson in the pre-2021 interview by Andy Baggerly of The Athletic? And also how we've seen some of those thoughts played out over 1.5 seasons. I'm specifically curious about the comments on how free agents are, quote, problematic, and how those mainly refer to the plethora of big contracts handed out slash acquired in 2016 through 18, Cueto, Samardzija, Melanson, Longoria, McCutchen, Crawford, Belt, and Posey to a lesser extent. So yeah, I remember reading this at the time, and I remember my take at the time was that people were kind of overreacting to some of these comments. So let's just read what the comments are. Cobert was nice enough to send screenshots and highlight some of the quotes that he wanted me to discuss. So Greg Johnson said, talking about, like, does ownership meddle in telling Zaidi, like, what to do? And he says, basically, no. And he says, quote, if I said to Farhan, hey, you've got to win 90 games, then you'd probably make a dumb decision by signing two names that are going to kill you in 4, 5, or 6 years. I trust that when our fans see young, exciting players coming up, that will create engagement and they'll buy into what we're building. Later on, Johnson continues, quote, as far as fan patience and bringing in stars and free agents, I think we have a very smart fan base. Based on the things that I read and see and get on Twitter, people really seem to understand that you don't win by going out and outbidding the other 29 teams for 3 or 4 free agents. You win by having one of the best farm systems and scouting systems and developmental systems. That's where the emphasis is with Farhan. So that last quote specifically really stood out to me, and I hadn't read this since then. And I just must say, this was, like you mentioned, this came out prior to 2021 when there was like angst about the state of the team and people thought they were years away and why didn't they sign big players in free agency. I must point out, they went out and won 107 games that year. And so people kind of stopped complaining at the time, but then this year we're back to it. And I think for good reason. But it is interesting when he says, you don't win by going out and outbidding 29 other teams for 3 or 4 free agents. Not just one, 3 or 4. He's saying you can't even do that. And that you win by having one of the best farm systems, scouting systems, developmental systems. And then he also talked about when fans see young, exciting players coming up, that will create engagement. The issue is we haven't seen that. And so I do think it's a good place to recalibrate our expectations about the future of this team, because it does seem like they are still in a phase, I don't want to say rebuilding, but waiting for the wave of young talent to arrive at the major leagues. And that's why when we're talking about possibly buying, and like Juan Soto, for example, this quote does not at all align with the possibility that the Giants would be in on Juan Soto, because he's saying we win by having a strong farm system and having young talent come up through the system. And you're like relying on Marco Luciano and Kyle Harrison being key players and possibly turning into stars if you're the Giants. And so if you give them up and you're only getting 2 years of Juan Soto, and you've gutted your farm system after all this time trying to build it up and it hasn't really exactly gone according to plan, we're still waiting for the wave of young talent. And this is the 4th season under this front office. And so you would expect that by now it would have started a little bit. And they did kind of hit on development with Logan Webb. But it is clear like that he's sending a signal that we shouldn't expect that this is going to be a team built through free agency. And it absolutely has not been. They haven't done that at all. The only kind of significant signings they've made in free agency have been to pitchers. And even then, I mean, all of the biggest contracts they've handed out have been to pitchers. When it's Alex Wood, Alex Cobb, Anthony DeSclafani, Carlos Rodon, and even the qualifying offer to Kevin Gausman after they had already had him for a year. So this doesn't really come as a surprise given the behavior that we've seen from them. But I think what it should do is tell us probably that they're not going to go out there this deadline, given the state of the team right now, and just give away or like ship off a lot of their best prospects for win now pieces. It just doesn't really make sense given these quotes and given what's pretty obvious, which is that they're a team in need of young talent and in need of a developmental pipeline. And honestly, you can start to say that we've seen some failure in development of young players, in that we have not seen the arrival yet of young talent to make an impact. Like, we're getting guys like David Villar, and he's just not really making an impact. And I mean, what other Sean Gelly? We haven't seen him make an impact, even though he's played a little bit. Elliot Ramos, Joey Bart. A lot of these guys were like inherited. In fact, all of those that I just named were inherited. So it's a long process, but it needs to start happening. So anyway, that's just kind of my comments. I hope that I answered that. It is somewhat alarming when you look at, okay, does that mean they're not going to go out there and be players in the free agent market again this offseason, when it does seem like in last offseason they could have supplemented. That's the thing. It's like, they have a lot of pieces that they've cobbled together what has been by weighted runs created plus, by runs per game. They've cobbled together what's actually been an above average offense. But if you can have some studs in the middle of that lineup, supplemented, complemented by, you know, platoon guys, then that's a real recipe for success. And so if they're just like gonna, that's what I, like Greg Johnson at the time, they weren't a good team. They had just gone 29 and 31 in the short season. And the year before that, they were what, 77 and 85 or something like that. And so once they were a good team last year, I would have thought that adding through free agency would have, but like, it's fine. He's saying you just don't build your whole roster that way. But if you already have a solid foundation, which it's arguable to say they had a solid foundation coming off of a 107 win season, that they could have supplemented it with some impact, middle of the order, everyday player talent. But they didn't do that. And so it's frustrating. And we'll have to see. At a certain point, you're just going to have to say that people are right and that they just don't want to make these big commitments financially, and that part of it is just wanting to keep payroll down, which would be really, really frustrating. We would call them out all the time if that becomes like a recurring theme for the San Francisco Giants. It would be pretty unacceptable given the Mission Bay project and all the money that's going to come in from that. I just don't see it. I think eventually they're going to be players in the free agent market, but ultimately the proof is in the pudding. And if they just keep going out there and not making impact additions through free agency ever, then that's going to be a problem. So the next round of questions are about free agency and also the Giants potentially being buyers in this trade market. We're going to do some rapid fire, try to get through more questions coming up in just a second. All right, as promised, we are going to get to some final questions. I'm going to try to go through some a little bit more quickly, as we did have so many good questions. I'm probably going to do a mailbag again tomorrow, given that we just had so many relevant questions. There was just no way I was going to be able to get through nearly as many as I wanted to, as is usually the case, but it was even more jam-packed than usual. So Amir says, with everyone talking about Aaron Judge and even Juan Soto as impending free agents, Shohei Ohtani as well, I think a forgotten guy is Trey Turner. While yes, LA has more cash than us, we have a lot of room freed up, and I think he'd be a perfect shortstop post Crawford to be the face of our franchise and bridge. So yeah, he is the forgotten guy for me. I really am a huge fan of the game of Trey Turner. I just ultimately, like, I think he wants to play shortstop. When he didn't get to play shortstop last year because the Dodgers had Corey Seager, he said he was kind of uncomfortable not playing short, and the Giants have Crawford signed for next year. I do not think Crawford should like stand in the way of signing Trey Turner if that's the only factor. One thing I worry about a little bit is that he's speed is such a big part of his game, and speed peaks in your early 20s, and he's probably going to command a deal of 8 years, if I had to guess, 8-9 years. I mean, Trey Turner, he's going to be 29, and he's just such an underrated player. I would love for the Giants to get Trey Turner. I don't think it's likely. I think that Judge probably makes more sense, given that there's more of an immediate need in the outfield for next year, and that he's a local guy, grew up a Giants fan. And Trey Turner, I've heard reports that these often prove to be wrong, but it was a legitimate reporter who said that he likely is going to want to be closer or to have spring training in Florida, where he may or may not live, I think. So I don't think it's likely, but yeah, he's a forgotten guy. Nobody talks about him. Even when we're talking about how good the Dodgers are, people talk about Betts and Freeman, but Turner may be the best of the three, actually. So yeah, don't sleep on Trey Turner, who's an impending free agent. And just to be clear, Juan Soto is not. Juan Soto is a free agent in 2+ years after 2024. And Shohei Ohtani's a free agent after 2023. Judge is a free agent. And Turner after this season. So the next question comes from Manny, who says, knowing the Giants, they will probably sign Joey Gallo next year instead of Aaron Judge. Do you think Gallo makes sense, or is he washed? So getting to kind of rapid fire here in a way, they're not remotely comparable, right? And I get your point, like they'll not sign the big dog and they'll go after somebody else. Gallo makes some sense if, I mean, not really. I just don't see the fit anymore on the Giants, given that they have guys like Yastrzemski, Luis Gonzalez, Lamont Wade Jr., all under club control for next year and beyond. And I'm just not sure Gallo would even be an upgrade given how the last year and a half has gone in New York. So probably not. I think that Brandon Nimmo makes a lot of sense for the San Francisco Giants, and he meets a lot of the criteria that they look for in a player. And so if you're missing out on Judge and ending up signing Brandon Nimmo, I think that that would be a more likely and also better outcome, not than Judge, but versus Gallo. Gallo is, there's serious questions about whether or not he's washed. I mean, he's a dangerous player. There's a low floor with Joey Gallo, and the ceiling is kind of capped because he's such a swing and miss strikeout issue guy. Jason says, since the team wouldn't pay to keep Gausman, can we expect that they won't or wouldn't pay to keep Rodon? How are we ever going to be good if we keep cheaping out on pitching? So I'm going to push back against this a lot, because their starting pitching has been their greatest attribute, and it's actually been pretty good. And I mean, their ERA, I think, as of a couple days ago, was second to the Dodgers only by their starting pitchers. And that includes guys like Alex Cobb and Anthony DeSclafani, and even Alex Wood having not great seasons from an ERA standpoint. But the peripherals continue to be good, which to me is not so much about luck anymore at this point. I think that time has passed where we can call it luck. It's more about the defense. And so if the team was good defensively, I think they would be even better. So they're not really cheaping out either. Like, Carlos Rodon is getting the same salary this year as Kevin Gausman, the exact same. So what they did was they just avoided the long-term commitment, but they paid the same amount per you know, this year that Gausman ended up getting. And look at Patrick Corbin. He was very good in year one of his deal with the Nationals, and now it's just an utter disaster. Utter disaster for Patrick Corbin. So there's a lot of risk with long-term deals for pitchers. And I would expect, yeah, to answer your question, it's not about the money, I don't think, for the pitching deals for, you know, like Gausman and Rodon. I think it's about the duration. And I don't see them going long-term with Carlos Rodon. So it's probably going to be a similar situation where he will opt out. Giants will give him the qualifying offer. He'll reject it and then he'll be gone, or they'll trade him. And then they'll get something in return and probably not re-sign him to a long-term deal. So this is probably the last year in San Francisco for Rodon. If we're putting odds on it, it's much more likely than not, in my opinion. More rapid fire. Giants fan 2855. Do you see the Giants trading for Ian Happ? I could see them being interested. He would fit nicely and definitely improve their outfield hitting and defense, but he's not going to come cheaply. it is only a year and a half, and by half, it's less than a year and a half. It's 2023 plus the rest of 2022 for Hap of Club Control, and it wouldn't come cheap. And so that's the thing, like when we talked about the Greg Johnson quote, are the Giants going to give up prospect capital to get a guy who might not move the needle enough to even get them in the playoffs this year? I'm not so sure. So I don't see it happening, but I could see them kicking the tires and being one of the teams interested, but probably ultimately not. Although I would be happy if they got him. Good player. So yeah, there's so many more questions. We're going to have to save the rest of these for tomorrow, most likely, unless something great happens tonight. We'll probably mention tonight's game on tomorrow's show, but also get to a lot more mailbag questions. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name's Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter, at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Giants versus Cubs tonight. Thanks again for listening. Stay Locked On Giants.